enjoy a good squeeze.
Hi, I'm Margot.
Hello, and I'm August.
And this is A Good Squeeze.
The show where we squeeze a little bit of that James Bond into our everyday lives.
That's right. And today we're going to do it a little different. We got a buddy joining us today.
Yes, indeed. We have Brad of Sanderson and Rhodes. How's it going, Brad?
August, Mario, it's great to see you guys.
It is great to see you too. Now, for our listeners, this will be a podcast, but hey, we're looking at each other via the Zoom.
That's right. So just a little background on who Brad is to us. We met in the most, like, I don't know, movie magic kind of way, where we like crossed paths during the, what was it, the Bond and Beyond gathering?
Mm-hmm. It was the Bond and Beyond event, yeah.
Yeah, and we were very privileged to, you came up to us and introduced yourself, and you just gave us this, like, I don't know, everything just kind of clicked. It was one of those relationships where you're like, you just meet someone and you're like, he gets it. This guy, this yeah. is our guy.
We were talking about A View to a Kill for
that's right.
a little too long, maybe.
In fact, you know, maybe we'll have to rewind off of this, but I think that was one of the first things that we bonded over at the event was we have a, you're from the San Francisco Bay Area, Margo, and I used to live there. And so tonight I've got my old fashioned in a little cable car glass in honor of you.
Ah, oh, that's brilliant.
So it is awesome to be here.
Thank you so much. Brad, this is an absolute privilege for us. So thank you for coming on. But the biggest thing that really stood out is you yourself have a story, an endeavor, something that you are currently creating. I don't want to speak for you, but you have an idea that you are contributing to the Bond community and the world in general. And we want to hear about that. Yes. We'd love for you to tell our listeners about it, because that was such a important part of, like, you know, like, we're A Good Squeeze and you are Sanderson and Rhodes, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Did we say from Sanderson and Rhodes?
Yes, indeed. Sanderson and Rhodes, a concept, an invention, a dream.
Yeah.
Brad, what is Sanderson and Rhodes?
Yeah. Sanderson and Rhodes is an idea that has come about for me over the last 4 or 5 months. And it's rooted in a number of interests that have kind of you know, taken place in chapters over my life and kind of just all came together a few months ago. So if we rewind back to the Bond and Beyond event, it was, you know, it felt kind of serendipitous to meet you guys there, because I think if I recall, that was your first of these, like, events, you know, of the Bond community, right? And for me, I'm a lifelong James Bond fan since I was like 10 years old. But I had chosen that time specifically to put myself out there a little bit, because I had been working on this idea, Sanderson and Rhodes, for a few months. And I saw that this event was happening in Pennsylvania, and I live in the Northeast. So I was able to drive down there and it was accessible. And I was like, I'm just going to go do it. And so you guys were truly a blessing to meet, because not only because we're talking here today, but because I was coming into that event as a newcomer too, right? And so, you know, by the way, this is like the definition of a delayed payoff of your simple question. So I had come to that event to also just kind of put, I wasn't like there to accomplish anything in particular other than just, you know, meet some new people and maybe put this idea out there. But for a very specific reason, which is Sanderson and Rhodes has a strong connection to the James Bond franchise and some of the impacts it has had on me. So what this idea is I want to make a travel watch case. And on its face, that's a ridiculous idea, because there is a sea of those products out there. There's so many of these cases that already exist. I mean, if you go on Amazon, like, you will be flooded with 60,000 results, right? But that wasn't really what I wanted to do. What I want to do is create a travel watch case that is something that James Bond would carry himself, right? I wanted to make something that felt like it was plucked out of the golden age of travel of the 1940s to the 1960s, and something that really recalled the elegance of that period and the adventure of travel as exploration. You know, travel now has been like, it's become so accessible, but it's also become so commoditized. And, you know, all you have to do, right, is look at any travel influencer on Instagram. And in a way, that has sort of robbed it of some of the romance of discovery, because like we all travel and like we check off, you know, boxes on our list. But for me, and especially because I just had the luxury of traveling prior to social media being really prominent in our lives and like shaping how we go through those experiences, I was probably, even though I'm a millennial and didn't live through the 1960s, right? I still had the luxury of living through a period that was pre-documenting everything you did on social media. And so I have a very fond place in my heart for travel as exploration. And I love the idea of a product that recalls the romance of that process. And so like, why do a watch case? Why not do a suitcase or anything else? That's just because a few years ago I got into watches, and you know, the past, I'd say like 4 years or so, and August, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'd say about, you know, 4 years or so, kind of COVID, post-COVID period, I had never worn watches before. And I don't know, like it just for whatever reason, it popped into my head that I'd like to get one, and I got one. And like many people, I kind of got the bug from there. I ended up buying at one point a very kind of, it was a modern dive watch, but it was very retro vintage inspired. And that like really just sunk its teeth into me. And I got very fascinated. And from there, I've really enjoyed learning about watches. I really like the touch of, you know, personality that it adds to your outfit and your style. I think it's a useful tool, but it's also obviously decorative. And it, you know, I've got like pretty basic style, so I like it as this little, you know, little touch to who I am and how I present myself to the world. And you know, I think like many guys, I didn't have anything to, if I bring, you know, a couple with me on a trip somewhere, I just like didn't have a travel case. And I just came home from a trip with, you know, one of my nicer watches like tucked in a sock. And I was like, I gotta do better than this. I gotta figure this out when I get home. And so I hopped on Amazon and I'm looking at the options on there. And I was like, you know, these aren't that nice. And I feel like, there's gotta be something better. And from there, I just started searching more and more, and I just didn't like find anything that really jumped out to me. Something that was compact and slim. You know, a lot of these are kind of bulky boxes. A lot of the other ones are nylon and just not that nice compared to the product that's inside of them. That nice watch that maybe you have a strong personal connection with. And so that just started me out on this journey of, wow, what if I could combine all these interests and turn that into a physical product, right? This is not like this isn't my day job. So I'm doing this on the side, you know, on nights and weekends and stuff. And it's just sort of a passion project that I want to bring to life. I don't particularly care if I make money from doing it. It's just something that I want to see through and bring to life. And going to that event with you guys and so many other fans from the Bond community was so cool because one, like it was an incredibly welcoming community. Like if you try to engage with different communities on Instagram, you will quickly find that, you know, some wrap their arm around you and bring you in right away. And the others, it's like you got to demonstrate that you're the cool kid before they'll do that.
Absolutely. 100%.
And thankfully, this community is very much the former, very welcoming, positive. And like so many people there, that was like wind in my sails that day. So many people from you guys to Dave Zaretsky, the list goes on because I met so many people that day that I could have talked to for hours. And that was just like such a huge boost of like, yeah, these guys are, and that's a community that loves their watches too, right? So like that was also kind of a, you know, easy to anticipate that people could jump on board with the idea, but there's what happens in your imagination, and then there's what people actually will be excited about in person. And so, you know, long way of answering your question there, August.
But certainly, like, you know, you had the Bond community, and we experienced it firsthand. They're extremely welcoming. You also had the right audience for your product, your idea. And, you know, it was fortuitous that we bumped into each other, I think, pretty early to you arriving, correct?
It was early. And I think, if I'm being honest, like, I think I was in my hotel room down the street and I was getting ready and I was poking around on Instagram because I came to the last event of the day, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of other people had been at some of the other events leading in. And so I was seeing all the stories people are posting. So I'm like, oh, who's doing what? Who's there? And somehow you guys came across my feed and I was like, I don't know them. What is this? And I saw that you had a podcast. And then like minutes later, I see you at the bar. And I was like, well, I got to go say hi.
That's so cool. That's, like you said, serendipity. And I mm-hmm. really do think so, because I remember as soon as you presented like this, because, you know, we're obviously getting to know each other. So we asked you, like, you know, I didn't want to be rude. And, you know, because sometimes people came up to me and I didn't know they were like big dogs in the bond industry. And I was like, hey, what do you do? And they're like, don't you know? And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. So I wanted to know what your concept was. And so we're asking, obviously. And you mentioned the Travel Watch case. And I mean, our eyes like lit up. We were so excited because not like 2 days prior to us leaving, mm-hmm. he was looking for a watch case. And he had just been talking about exactly the problem that you described. Everything that you were talking about with like being a younger individual traveling, figuring out how to get all your stuff together. Again, you found a problem and from there you devise a solution. And it's just such a cool process because it's based in experience. It's based in mutual experience with other people. And it's something that is just, it resonates so perfectly with the bond community. Mm-hmm. And that's something that just stood out so much about your idea. And it's brilliant. It's a great idea.
Thanks for saying that. And, you know, I think you just said a word that is really important to me, which is like the experience of travel. So like, you know, I think one of the things I've personally felt super saturated on over the last 10 years is like products are sold to you with this like pre-baked story that you're going to take and, you know, tell to the person who asks you about it. And like, my hope really is like Sanderson Rhodes, all this is about is like making something that is super high quality that inspires you, right? Like inspires you to go out and have your own adventures. My hope is it's super, my hope is that it feels lovely and substantial in your hands every time you hold it, that it evokes a feeling of exploration and adventure. And my hope is that, you know, it goes out with people on their own adventures and it comes back and it lives as this little symbol of, you know, when they look at it on their dresser, right? It reminds them of everywhere they've been, because that was a thing I think we talked about at the event, right? Was like, I traveled a lot in my 20s. I lived and worked outside of the country for a while, and it got to, you know, spend time in some exotic places and do some really fun things that were formative experiences for me. Like one that I love to tell is I lived about 30 yards from the Atlantic Ocean in Uruguay, where I lived out of a tent for 4 months. And, you know, that was in a former life, I was a marine biologist and I'm not anymore, but that was like that was a career path that I was like really trying to forge down at the time. And it was just this like very, you know, challenging experience, romantic experience. It taught me a lot about myself. And, you know, I had a few different chapters of my 20s that were like that. And I came out of that. And, you know, that whole time I had like, you know, a polyester hiking bag and dingy tent and, you know, all these things that, you know, over the years have really had to be disposed of. They're not things that could last. And, you know, I was reflecting recently as I was kind of, you know, coming up with the idea of like what Sanderson and Rhodes would be and represent. And that was a big piece of it for me, which is that like these objects serve as mementos and almost like waypoints for our journeys. And so like to be able to have something that stands the test of time is really nice because it tells us all about where we've been and reminds us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, that's wonderful.
You know, you mentioned a quick moment ago that, you know, you just got into watches within like the past 4-5 years, we'll say. And, you know, eventually you get the bug, as some people do. I am, you know, on our show, nostalgic and novice we're the novices to your nostalgic, and I am just getting into watches now. Margot started it off for me. We got married about 2 years ago, and as a wedding gift, she got me a nice vintage Omega watch, which I wore to that Bond event.
And it brings it back to your whole, like, the vintage. The vintage watch is what, like, that was the bug.
That's
like,
what right started it. And long story short, we went to a wedding, and I wore that watch, and I lost it, or so I thought, but I could not find it. And it terrified me to the point where we did find it. It fell into, like, the lining of my suitcase.
We were turning suitcases. Okay, it sounds like we have like a palace of suitcases. We have maybe 3 suitcases. That's enough suitcases to be flipping through, throwing around. Yeah. We're looking at bags. We're looking at fanny packs. We have a lot of fanny packs, I'll tell you that. And just
suitcases of them.
Suitcases of fanny packs, exactly. We're going through. Anyways, but it was honestly this moment of panic where it was like, and the first thing that really was at the forefront of our minds was, why weren't we prepared? Why didn't we? Like, you know,
not even we.
Well, I felt guilty too, because I was like, oh, maybe I should have bought him a case for the thing, and the, you know, because that's
how this leads back to you, because I was then pursuing a watch case, like something I could put my watches in if I went to travel, like I just did, so I wouldn't lose it in that situation. It has a place. I carry it with me. It's protected, and you know, it's something I'll remember everywhere I go, and. We met at this Bond event, and you were explaining to us Sanderson Rhodes, and it just sparkled in me. I was like, that is what I'm looking for. You said you were looking for something that you couldn't find, therefore you created this concept and you're pursuing making this a reality. It was something you wanted. I want it too, you know? So I'm basically saying, like, I'm just one of plethora. If you build it, they will come. You know, there's an audience, there's a need for what you're describing. And like you said, there's many watch cases you can get. I couldn't find the one that was right. I did get one, but I'm ready to, you know, I'm not attached to it.
I recently bought $500 worth of watch cases just to check if I was missing anything. Because I was like, I just got to make sure. Like, I'm about to go down this road. And I ordered good. So many of them, and I just went through each one and took notes on, like, you know, what I would do differently, what I would keep, what I liked, and stuff like that. But yeah, to your point, August, you know, there's no shortage of these that'll, you know, keep, you know, do the job, keep your watch safe, and, you know, no shade on if anybody finds that's great for them, right?
Of course.
But I'm a nostalgic just like you, and I remember your watch. It is really lovely, and I don't know, Margo, if you did you just like take a shot on that and get it for him? Like, well, did August kind of know, or you know what he wanted?
I'm very lucky. That's a great question. I am very lucky that my husband and I talk all the time about the stuff that we like. We'll just kind of walk up to each other and be like, "Hey, so I have this new thing," and we share a lot of the passions that we have, and he'll send me links on things that he just likes just to show me, which is makes my life easier when I'm buying presents like this. But it wasn't
like I'm sending her like $10,000 watches.
No. Like, you know, I like this. Instagram videos, reels, stuff like that. You know, Instagram videos, that ages me. But it's one of those things where so our friend, he owns an oddity shop like north of where we're at, and he posts his stuff on Instagram, on his stories, because that's where most of his sales come from. And as we were approaching our wedding day, he posted this gorgeous watch that was an Omega. I think it was a men's. It was like
a men's 1970s.
Yeah, like every single box. It was classy. It was simple, but it was an Omega. It was vintage, and it was within my price range. So that kind of helped too.
That is a wonderful thing about some of the older vintage watches is, like, you know, they can be attainable. I try not to use the word affordable anymore because it's such a relative term, especially in the watch community, where, like, you've got people spending, you know, upwards of 10 grand, which is, like, I'm definitely not in that category. So yeah, like, I think that was a really wonderful choice. And one of the things I love about it, August, is it is a classic example of a vintage watch with vintage proportions. I think it's a 31 or 32 millimeter, which, you know, by modern standards, like a lot of people would classify that as like a women's watch. But for those of us nostalgics, like that's a wonderful watch size that you don't see a lot anymore. And it jumped out at me right away when I saw it.
No, I appreciate that. I love that. And, you know, Margo, you did good.
I feel good. I do feel good. So thank you for saying all this. Thank you for like confirming the things that we do feel. Like I know nothing about watches. I don't know a single thing about watches. But luckily, and that's another thing with the Bond community, a lot of these brands kind of sell themselves. And, you know, you just hear the name and you know there's going to be some, I don't want to say value as in like money. I'm talking about like emotional value. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't like a specific James Bond watch. It just happened to be a vintage Omega. And I was like, you know what? This, I don't know exactly what this is going to accomplish, but I know it's going to get some sentiment across of, I know what you like. I hear you. And we had been doing this Bond podcast at this point. Very, very lackadaisical, but
we were just getting our feet wet.
To talk about novice, I was pre-novice. I didn't even know what I was. I had no idea what I was doing, but I did. It is something that's really lovely about the Bond community is it's easy to dip your toe in and just kind of try something. Because even if you just try, there's going to be positive feedback one way or another. You know, just being part of something like that. And that was like
very supportive and encouraging.
Yes, and that was like the first step towards that for me, was like buying my husband something Bond related that wasn't off the 007 shop, you know. And
I love that about it, right, too, because like, you know, there are plenty of opportunities to like buy the exact watches or the exact whatever, like clothing. There are you know entire like websites dedicated to it even, and I love the like kind of, it's kind of a quiet wink and a nod to the franchise without being too on the nose, which is perfect for you.
Yeah.
That's so nice. I've You're grown... delightful.
I've grown to appreciate like the homage, the nod, as well as the full blown replica. You know, I like it all. But you know, that little Omega Margo got me led me to that Moonraker Seiko. I found it at like a thrift store and it was beat to hell. But
you underwent the repair process.
Yeah, attempting.
Now I feel like you should do the storytelling. Like you posted pictures on A Good Squeeze Instagram of the condition as it was.
Yeah.
And you did it. Like how did you just YouTube it or what?
I hit it with a hammer. Yeah. I did actually at one point. I did a lot of YouTube stuff. And ultimately, it just needed like fully taken apart and cleaned. It just was, you know, gunked up with, you know, 40, 50 years or whatever of just use. So once I cleaned it and put a fresh battery in, it came on.
Yep. I was going to ask you a question real quick, not to completely derail. I'm sorry, no. Your process.
Guide
you were
us,
talking about,
us.
You know, like, the beginning of, you know, collecting a watch, the nod to, like you said, the nod to the James Bond. What is it about the Bond franchise community? Where are you drawing inspiration for your design? And that's, I feel like the nod is something that is so valuable in this community because we love an Easter egg. We love, I say we, like I'm like, not a nostalgic. No, not yet. But like, what are you drawing inspiration from in the Bond community?
I love that question. And I think to answer it, you have to look at the character in these movies himself. And others have said this probably more eloquently. But I think to paraphrase what I very much agree with is James Bond as a character is this really interesting study of somebody who lives on the edge of, you know, always being, you know, potentially a moment away from death. And the movies explore that in a number of different ways. But I think the one that really speaks to me is he's always, you know, traveling to exotic places, has access to different experiences, foods, drink, luxury items. And I think one of the things we see is he relishes those, right? He relishes those because he knows that, you know, any moment could be his last. And so this juxtaposition of this character who has all these refinements and appreciation for the finer things is engaged in all this kind of, rugged danger. That juxtaposition to me, one, is very entertaining. That's what I really love about the series. But the way they weave lifestyle into that through clothing, through watches, it really speaks to me. And I decided, okay, that's what we have to get at, which is that, the materials of this product should evoke that, right? So when you have my favorite example, right? So Quantum of Solace, which you guys have reviewed on the show, has had kind of a mini resurgence in popularity in the Bond community after kind of taking a beating when it first came out. One of my favorite scenes in that movie is when Daniel Craig, they show up to the hotel. I think it's in Bolivia. They show up to the hotel and he's just like, this is not going to work. Like, I'd rather be in a morgue. And he demands they go to a nicer place. And he comes up with a cover story that will suit them staying at the nicest hotel in town, right? And so he is in pursuit in this like moment of, there are high stakes, there's danger. And he is like ultra focused on just like, no, but I need a nicer hotel. Right. And so then he gets it. And there's a very specific scene where he comes through the hotel door and the hotel employee showing him to the hotel room says, do you need anything else? And he says, no. And he throws the keys off onto the couch, almost like with just total disregard. And I love that contrast of like, he is in this, he was just after it for the pursuit of it. And then once he had it, he no longer cared for it. But I actually love the sort of nonchalance that he handles these luxury items with, because they're like almost disposable to him when he is navigating this universe of living on the edge. And I thought, I want this to have those kinds of materials where you could easily picture Craig insisting that he have this and then throwing it on the bed without a second thought. And so the product itself, I'm trying to really focus on the best possible materials. I have studied a lot about the different materials and types of leather that you can use, the different kinds of hardware that you can use to close the case. Definitely never thought I'd spend this much time studying like how a watch case should be constructed. But that's a real focus of mine, is like the materials are kind of everything. The materials and the form factor and how it feels in your hand, because at the end of the day, it's very easy to construct something that will hold and protect your watch. Like, that part isn't really the hard part here. And most of the time it is literally just going in your suitcase. So what actually evokes that sense of romance, that callback to exploration and adventure and travel that makes you think, it's not that this thing does anything that special, it's that it just reminds me of my own love of wanting to go out and see the world.
Mm. God, that's...
You bring the romance to this watch case.
I just want you to keep going.
I do have a question that will make him keep going.
Good.
With studying these materials and these just different components to making your invention not only a reality but usable, what kind of avenues are you exploring to do just that? Like, research, yes, but are you in contact with like manufacturers or
if you're allowed to talk about that?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I am happy to talk about it. And the most common question I got at first at the Bond event was like, that's cool. Like, are you a leather worker? It's yeah. Like, do I look like a leather worker? Like, you see these little hands? I am not creating this myself, which I would love to, but I've got a family and a job and young kids, and it's just like the new James Bond movie will come out sooner than I'll make this case if we go that route. So what I started exploring were what are my options, right? How do you get a product made? I've never done this before. And so I'm learning a lot along the way of there are so many routes you can go. Where I'm at right now, after a lot of Google research, after a lot of ChatGPT consultations of helping me to kind of nail down like what stepwise, what should my process kind of look like here? That has really helped me to hone my vision and hone what I should really be looking for in terms of partners to produce this. And the first step that you take typically when you want to make a product is you make a prototype, and you either make a rough prototype yourself or you hire somebody else to do that. And then from there, you refine it, and then you come up with whatever your production model is going to be, and then you contract with a manufacturer or a partner who is going to make that for you. And so my outreach has been very, very broad. I have contacted everything from one-man leather shops across the U.S., Spain, Italy.
Wow.
I've been in touch with leather shops in Estonia at this point. So like literally global at this point in terms of outreach. To also options in China. There are manufacturing firms that will help you to custom design and bring a product to life. And so you often contact these folks and you're taking shots in the dark, right? So like for every 10 to 20 messages I send out, I might only get one response back. And that is kind of to be expected. You'd have to be very sort of selfishly minded to think everybody cares about your little teeny tiny niche product, right? Like this is like I said at the beginning, it's like a passion project. I've got a limited amount of money I can personally invest in a initial product and production run and things like that. And so you have to sort of go into it clear-eyed about the fact that, you know, not some places, if they're going to set up a production line for you, that costs them a certain amount of money to run. And so if you're not going to produce 2,000 units or 5,000 units, that's just not interesting and a good fit for them. And that's okay, right? That's not the right partner. And sometimes you also talk to the small shops and they say, look, like I'm kind of just trying to build my own brand here. I'm not looking to private label some product for somebody else. And so that has been part of my journey, is finding the right partners that are there that have a mutual interest, where like the quantities I can afford to reasonably produce. And you know, let's be honest, like I have to figure out how many of these people actually want to buy. And I'm only still in the process of gauging that. And I will tell anybody who's listening, if you're like, this is cool and I'm into it, sandersonandrhodes.com. Like I have, it's not a fancy website. You can't buy anything on there right now. I'm not trying to like, super plug it.
No, go for
but
it.
If you jump on there and add yourself to the wait list, that's an incredible measure to me of people who are genuinely interested, that they'll throw their email address down. That really helps me to understand the genuine interest in this endeavor and help me determine what an initial order of these is going to look like. But right now, I'm not at placing an initial order. I think you were getting at this, August, is I'm trying to get a prototype made. And so this has been a really exciting 2 weeks because I am in touch with about a half a dozen prospect manufacturers and initiating the first round of prototypes.
That's
so
awesome.
we've got 3 prototypes that are going to be going into production, or samples, you know, right? So different, I think these will, you know, these are different prospective partners. They'll each, I'm sure, have their own take on kind of how they execute it. And one of the things I am most excited about is I have spent months posting on Instagram about Sanderson and Rhodes, my interest in watches and travel and Bond and classic movies too. I'm not limited to Bond by any stretch. And one of the things I'm most excited about is like, hey, I'm not just out here curating vibes, right? Like I'm really trying to make something. And one of the things I'm most excited about is all these connections I've made. I'm like, okay, great. Like, can I send you this and you check it out? Like, August, will you take this on a weekend trip and tell me how it does and what we need to tweak, right? Oof. I'm so excited to do that part of the journey of really looking at these things and refining them and really just, you know, I am such a like type A perfectionist. Like the hardest thing for me is going to be like saying that it's like reached a point of good enough.
Mm. Oh man.
I understand that. And I will say, I'm very excited for you. I want to support you. Like we met and we got along and you told us this idea and I think it's brilliant and I want to support you in any way. So,
me too.
Oh yeah, you're here. we can both be guinea pigs.
Yeah, look at that.
Margo has the unenviable task in this conversation of reining in two nostalgics, and I don't envy that.
But I love it. That's how I'm making my way towards the nostalgic. It's kind of an underlying, it's not a goal, but it's
like
kind
a runaway train into the sunset, right?
Trying to hop on board. That's it. Yeah. Something that's really brilliant is just the way that you're talking about how, like, essentially time is your asset right now. Like, you're not in any rush to get anything out. You're trying to get all your ducks in a row. You're trying to get the idea of, like, obviously, you know, all the, like, logistical stuff, supply and demand, et cetera, et cetera. And this is something I'm a graphic designer in marketing currently. I hate that title so much, but that's okay. But one of the biggest rules in marketing is, if you have an idea, there's a demand for it. Because if you've thought of it, no one's come up with any idea that has never been made. But if you come up with an idea, that means somebody probably has already thought of it, either in wanting to supply it or in the demand. And this is exactly what happened with you guys. You had an idea and you had an idea, but you guys had two very different approaches to it. You needed said item and you decided to make it. He needed said item and he kept looking for it. And then he found you. This whole idea of like just how you're navigating this, the way that you're talking about it. Also, excellent speaker, my goodness. But it really just is, it feels like a full circle thing for us just on our end, just being able to watch you and keep track. It sounds like we're like taking tabs on you, but it's
checking the Instagram.
It's really cool, like seeing the process and the progress and everything that you're doing. Like, and that's great news. Like in the past 2 weeks, like you've already got this going. Like, that's really, really exciting. And we think this is an excellent idea. We can't say it enough, truly.
Well, I want to say thank you for that. And you hit something that, like, you know, even though this hasn't come to life yet and it has a long way to go before it really does, I think one of the things on this journey that has been really meaningful for me, first of all, the positive feedback is so wonderful because it's always a little hard to write. Like, I'm sure when you guys published your first podcast episode and you're putting yourself out there, it is nerves, man. And that's just, it's just so hard to put yourself out there and you're in the void, even if it's for a moment where you're wondering how it's going to go. And that was hard. But I do recall, like, my wife and I have both, you know, dabbled in different ideas over the years of, you know, personal side ventures. And, you know, one of the things that always was a wonderful sentiment to me, although it's still hard to take it and go, you know, put it to use, is that, you know, there's somebody out there doing what you want to do, and they're not as good at it as you are, but they're doing it. And like, I love that because you're like, right. Like, you know, so much of it is just showing up. Right. And I have to shout out a friend on here. I want to say very specifically thank you to Ryan Holt of Analyze This, Mr. Bond, because first of all, he's very, very delightful. He's very talented, wonderful content creator. But he had started his channel like a couple of years back when I was trying to figure out and put myself out there in a different way. And I remember finding his channel. And one of the things that really inspired me that Ryan did was like, he just started going for it, right? Like his first videos were, you know, I felt very like seen, because like his first videos, like the production, you know, quality, it wasn't all like glossy like some, you know, accomplished YouTubers might be. He's gonna hear this and think I'm criticizing it, but like, no, it was like it felt like a regular person had, you know, turned the camera on. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
and I saw him just go out and do that and be consistent. And I found him because I just liked the James Bond angles that he was putting out there. They're great. But like even that notwithstanding, I was so appreciative of like, man, this is a proof of concept of like, you put yourself out there, you get yourself going, even if it's not, you know, perfect right away. And then you just keep doing it. You keep iterating it and you get better. And I appreciate that that's not rocket science, but to actually watch somebody go through that process of, you know, like, I think when I saw his first video, he was at like a couple hundred YouTube subscribers. And I think he's got like, you know, 15,000 plus on Instagram now. And you know, that's through a lot of hard work and consistency, but like that was super inspiring to me. Really appreciate you, Ryan. And I think all the different examples that are out there of people that do that, they just do it, right? And I think that's what I'm trying to do now, is like I've spent enough time thinking, enough time plotting, enough time trying to make it perfect. I really just have to get it going. And I think that's where this chapter is at right now.
That's wonderful.
That is. And, you know, I think a lot of people need to hear those words, including mm-hmm. myself. You know, I have plenty of pursuits that I just sit on my, you know, thumbs and just think about all the time, but never really do. But, you know, hearing you say that and, you know, giving examples like Ryan, you know, and others, it's people need to hear this more often, I think, and including myself.
There's something really just so wonderful about what you're saying is you're talking about Ryan and, you know, keeping up with his channel from day one, essentially. The idea of like, you know, that success and both yours and his, and you can see this like just in the people that you are, is the authenticity that you bring. As you're talking about this product, there's a backstory that has led you to this. There was a problem that is close to you that you then again solved. I keep repeating myself, but that you then solved. This authenticity is going to show through in your product and in the way that you share it with people and just the way that you're talking about it and everything that you're describing. It just comes from a place of you've thought about it. You're not trying to push it in one direction or another. There's something so natural about what you're doing in the way that you're doing it and in the product that you're creating. It's something that is just going to click with people. It's in that authenticity that's just going to happen. And it's happening as you're doing this. Like, I mean, look at us. We're like, can you come on our podcast so you can talk about this more? Like, you know, it's happening as you're even just developing mm-hmm. it. I can't even imagine what's going to happen when it's out in the world. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even exist. And
I feel like the best part was planning this podcast because you guys are like, come on, we'll talk about the, you know, Sanderson and Rhodes. And I was like, well, I could just come on and talk about James Bond.
That's true.
Like, no, no, no.
that's next time.
That's part two.
That's part two.
Yeah.
No, and, you know, of course, we'll cut it up about some James Bond here in a little bit.
Of course.
But I was excited to hear about your invention in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I was excited to talk with you again about it in a more formal setting, mm-hmm. More exposed setting. And, you know, we're looking forward to putting this episode out in the world for, you know, our listeners to hear, but for your followers to hear as well, to get more connected to what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
And to hear your story, to hear your voice, because mm-hmm. the way you're saying it is it's beautiful.
Oh yeah, we were like, wow.
Thanks for saying that. I think one area where I maybe have not done as much on social media is like I have mostly focused on a, you know, kind of outward looking account. I don't turn the camera in on myself and talk to the camera for the Sanderson and Rhodes account. I sometimes include pictures of myself doing stuff, but like most of it is talking about other stuff. So it is really fun to come on here, and and speak from the heart about, you know, kind of what this whole thing has been for me.
Yeah. And I mean, just face, you know, as we're seeing everything, like face value, you are selling a product, but the way you talk about it, you're selling an experience. That's really what it is. It's, you know, we treasure the items that protect, like, that can take the beating and have lasted over the years. And when they can, there's that added component of it's keeping my valuables or, you know, things safe. What is the real valuable in that situation? And when you think, it's almost like as an adult, you know, you, or as a child, you know, you have your security blanket, you have your stuffed animal, you have the shorts that you always want to wear, the shirt you never want to take off. You have those valuables from the start. And as an adult, it's the things that last the longest that gain the most value. And the thing that you're describing, and just also the process of it, again, like your story behind it, there's so much longevity to it. And that's something that is just going to resonate with so many people. And even just your people hearing your story, I think is something that's just so important.
Well, and here's the thing, right? Like, Margo, like, you know, if your listeners were not into watches, they've probably tuned out on me already. But like, for those of us guys or girls who are into watches, you know, we talked a little bit about how it can be like a, you know, almost like a little personal statement. But they also these are objects that stand the test of time, especially if they're, you know, decently made, which these days just there's incredible access to just such a variety of, I mean, it's really a preponderance of riches, of an embarrassment of riches, of options in terms of designs and materials. And so I think no matter what your style is, you can connect to one of these things. And so then you just want to, you know, keep it safe. But they really, you know, these themselves are tokens of our experiences. They go so many places. I think there's a little bit of lore with watches of, you know, them being with you for so much of your life, and maybe even you pass it down after that. And so I think it was an easy thing for me to latch onto because I, you know, got into it, and along the way noticed that, you know, my daughters would always notice which watch I was wearing that day. And, that's, oh, Daddy, awesome. can you wear this one today? Can you put it on my wrist?
Oh.
You know, can I have it when you don't want it anymore? Oh. All those little things that are so sweet. And so I think, you know, even though so as not to be overly materialistic, like it's not really about having like a luxury watch or anything like that. But I think all these little things sometimes connect us to each other. And so wanting to preserve the sentimental value that it carries once we've, you know, taken it through those experiences.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm glad we're starting this journey watching you and your progress and, you know, where it started, where it's going. So yeah, thank you. And thank you for hopping on this podcast.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. We would love to do a part two with you. Bond exclusive conversation. I'll try to keep up.
That'll happen for sure.
You guys need to go ham, essentially.
I do want to say, as a thank you, if you, for those listening and you, Brad, if you do tune in on our Instagram, every now and then, Margo and I make a cocktail themed to a Bond character. That's going to evolve, you know, as we go along. I've only done a few, but as a thank you to you, I want to curate, make up, design a Sanderson and Rhodes cocktail. Would you be down with that?
Oh my gosh, sign me up. Absolutely.
I'm drinking it tonight.
Tell me. Can you tell me, or is it? No.
It's still in the works. It's just like
I didn't even know. I was like, oh, go ahead, tell him. Oh, okay.
It's just like your invention. Yeah.
This is so exciting because when I was sort of sitting down and writing down, I was trying to write down images that the brand wanted it to evoke, and I really leaned on the British colonial aesthetic. When I was thinking about this brand, and one of the lines I wrote down was, men in linen suits, sweating and drinking gin and tonics under a ceiling fan in, you know, some far off locale. You know, I don't know what it is about, you know, the image of, like, you know, met guys like playing cards and having drinks in a, you know, Caribbean hotel lobby or something like that, that really evokes the romance factor for me.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you have got a Sanderson and Rhodes cocktail, I am all in.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Brilliant.
You'll be surprised one day when it pops up on our channel.
I can't wait.
So we're going to close up here, but I would be remiss if I don't ask you at least a couple of James Bond stuff. A couple of James Bond questions.
Lightning round.
What was the first James Bond movie you saw?
So I don't exactly remember, because my first memories of James Bond were actually seeing the James Bond marathons. On Christmas Day, my family would go to a family friend. All the fathers would gather and smoke cigars up in the attic, almost like a man cave before you called it that. And they would have the James Bond marathons playing on the TV. So that was actually my first memory. And so it was this amalgamation of all of them. But the first one I saw in earnest was GoldenEye, which I think for a lot of us millennials, that was our first experience, at least to watch it start to finish.
I hear you. Yeah. Yep, that was me for sure. Margo, you got one?
Favorite Bond theme?
Ooh.
You Only Live Twice.
Ooh, you classy fella.
Good stuff.
You classy
Very nice.
Guy.
I like that one a lot.
You only live
yeah,
twice.
Yeah, we wanted to sing it, actually. That's why we asked. Sorry. Your turn.
Yeah. Any particular reason?
I think it has a kind of a... I think it does a great job of it. It's highly melodic. It's memorable. It's got a catchy tune. It's got a good lyrical melody, but also the instrumental melody is really nice in it. And it evokes that kind of dreamlike quality where when you step into a James Bond movie, right, you are stepping into another kind of a universe. And I think it does a great job of sort of helping you. You know, even the intro scenes, the credits, you know, are this literal transition into the world of the movie. And I think it does a perfect job at doing that.
Wonderful.
God damn it. It's good stuff.
So we do need to wrap her all up.
That's right.
But could you please share with our listeners where they can find Sanderson and Rhodes? Mm-hmm.
Easy peasy. So it is at Sanderson and Rhodes on Instagram. And that's the Rhodes part is R-H-O-D-E-S. And then we have a website, sandersonandrhodes.com, and that's it. That's all you got to do.
Sign up for the
wait list for the product. You can come and just enjoy, you know, honestly, following products on Instagram is like kind of awful these days. I try not to be part of the problem. I mostly just post about, you know, what I'm doing, or I post about stuff like watches and movies that I think are cool.
Brilliant.
As part of our sign out, you know, we say who we are, but we always wrap up with the name of the show, right? It's a good squeeze in a Pierce Brosnan voice. Would you honor us by saying the line? Putting you on the spot?
I'm Margo.
I'm August. And this is Brad.
And this has been A Good Squeeze.